In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Can we quickly open our Bibles, everybody? Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read a long portion. Please follow me in your own Bibles. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you. Because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, the Lord says, are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy," that's what the world will produce,
"Amen.
And be led forth with peace.
Amen.
The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you.
Amen.
And all the trees of the field will clap their hands."
Amen.
Said, "Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up.
Amen.
And it will be a memorial to the Lord, for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off."
Amen.
"Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness." I'm in 56 now. I want to break somewhere. "For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' Nor let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, and my house will be called the house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered." The Lord is good.
Awesome.
Can we declare the word of understanding as we begin to study? Let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can you turn to three people and just tell the person, congratulations, wisdom is your portion. Understanding has come to you. Turn to somebody else, tell the person, understanding has come to you today in the name of Jesus. All right, once you have done the three, you can take your seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's continue today. We've been looking at the fact that our help is in the Word of God. And one of the things we have been seeing is the fact that we are supposed to pay attention to that word as in worship. In that Deuteronomy chapter 4, which we've read previous times, Moses explained to the people that, listen, when God met with you that day on the mountain, the only thing you really encountered was the voice. So as people will make image of animals, as people will make image of gods, you put that same effort into putting attention to the Word of God. Everything you need in life is inside God's Word. You understand that? Then I now went ahead to explain that what is that God's Word actually? And there are two, we have our Bible in two segments. What they call the Old Testament, which is actually not a correct word for it. What the Old Covenant is that which was enacted on Mount Sinai through Moses with Israel. Do you understand? And that one came to an end when Jesus died on the cross. He said, it is finished. That one actually finished then. The compilation of the books that you have from Genesis to Malachi is never called the Old Testament in reality. Jesus called it the apostles. Everybody called it the law and the prophets. The only other name you may find used for it is the law and the prophets and the Psalms. But the Psalms often come under the prophets also. So you find it's called the law and the prophets. It is not the Old Testament. So when you're picking your Bible, you just say, okay, open to the Old Testament. You really cannot open to the Old Testament. The Old Testament was an arrangement between two people, between God and Israel. What you have is the law and the prophets. Now, emphasis now on the prophets. The prophets, Paul told us in Romans chapter 1, to Israel, of course, he said later, was committed the oracles of God. But in Romans chapter 1, he told us that this gospel, the prophets prophesied it at that time. And then Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 1, which we read last time. I was going to read it today, but there's no point. We can easily refer to it in our private time. In that 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter explained that these prophets, when they would be speaking, they were speaking things concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. He said they predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I'll say something about that sufferings of Christ a little more today. But they spoke about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And that when they were saying those things, they did not understand what they were saying. Please, let's get it clear. They did not understand what they were saying. If the things they were saying were so literal in its accomplishment, why would they not understand? I don't know whether you get my point here. They didn't understand what they were saying. He said, then the Holy Spirit ministered to them. Let's just open to it so I can quote things correctly. The Holy Spirit ministered to them that they were not speaking for themselves. They were speaking for people that will come later. So the Spirit of Christ that was pushing them to speak, they wanted to know, what exactly are we talking about? In verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 1, let me start from verse 10. As to this salvation, this thing that God has prepared for you, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that will come to you made careful searches and inquiries. They were really trying to understand, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted, that is that Spirit, the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And in verse 12, we read that it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, the believer in Christ Jesus, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which even angels long to look. Now, what am I trying to say here? That is the blessings. That's what we're trying to explain. That God prepared for you. Those were the things that the prophets spoke about. So, because I've listened to messages, read books, heard people teach, and they try to explain that when you are reading it, they always tend to target everything towards the natural Israel. They want to explain to you that this has been fulfilled in natural Israel. They want to explain to you that this will be fulfilled in natural Israel. Sometimes it's like that. Now, let me just say this. There are two levels in which you look at fulfillment a lot of times, okay? But I don't want to bother with the level that's not my business. Some things may appear to have been fulfilled physically. For example, he said, out of Egypt I have called my son. And yet Israel actually literally came out of Egypt. But that was not the fulfillment. It was when Jesus came out of Egypt that was the real fulfillment. Are you getting my point? A voice is heard in Rhema. What was the name of the woman that was crying for her son? Is it Rachel? Because they were not. Okay? Now, that could have happened that time. Do you understand? The Babylonians could have come and destroy the village and kill people there. But that fulfillment did not happen really until Jesus came later. Do you get my point? So that's something you have to bear in mind. When you're interpreting when you're interpreting the prophets, you can never get the real meaning of what they are saying except you look at it through Christ Jesus. Once you can't find how to use the decoding, algorithm, which is Christ Jesus, if you can't fit it in and bring out what is there, your interpretation is presumptive, your interpretation is inaccurate, your interpretation is partial. We give two examples. Number one, Jesus said, I will break this temple down, and 3 days I will raise it up again. The disciples told us later, the apostles, that when people heard it, they looked at the physical temple, the structure that was there, made of stones, and they said, how can you raise a new one in 3 days? And they told us that they did not know when he spoke about the temple, he wasn't talking about the temple physical that they could see. He was talking about his body. Do you follow? I've been listening to one particular message. I said this one before. Let me just say that now. Not the message I was listening to. When he said to Nathan, through Nathan, he said to David, I will raise your son. Your son will come and build me a temple. David assumed Solomon would build God a temple. So he went about it the carnal way, the fleshly way, the way of the man of limited understanding. He began to raise money. Who will give 1 million? Who will give 10 million? We need to put down 50 billion naira so that by the time Solomon is ready, he will have money to build. Who will give 100,000? He said, wait, before he was giving, I have by myself given. I sold my investment in Guarantee Trust Bank, in Dangote Cement, Dangote Refinery, the one I had in Nigeria Breweries. I liquidated everything. Now I gathered everything, the money I had stored up before BVN inadequacy will have it liquidated. I collected everything. Even my whistleblower caught. I have packaged everything and it has come to a lot of money. I sold my house in Ikoyi. I sold the one in Maitama. The one in LMA Road, Port Harcourt. I sold everything for the building of this temple. So who will follow my example? And everybody began to give. And they raised a lot of money. Solomon too, in the fleshly and carnal way, took the money and built a building. And the Lord was bored. Can you see my face? That's what the Lord did do that day. And everybody was gyrating. We have built a temple. Say, the problem with you people? Idolatry. You have seen the temple of Dagon.
Yeah.
Yes. It's impressing you. You have seen the temple of Ashtoreth. It's impressing you. The Syrians had their temple. The Moabites had their temple. And you are just not satisfied with this small tent and box I gave you. She says, our God is bigger. Our church must be bigger. So God looked at them like this. They finished building. No, that's what Solomon said. He went and prayed. Lord, when we face this place, hear us. I said, no worry, I will hear you. You see, if it was not the will of God, why was he hearing them? God, he's very kind. He's very, very kind. There was a time they said, want to divorce our wives. So, okay, give them certificate and let them go. And Jesus said, in the beginning, it was not so. I understand that temple wasn't God's idea. Just had to draw one for them. See, we must build. Okay. If you must build, this is how it will be. He gave it to them. They built it. So he looked for one stick and held it. I said, Michael, we are going to show them that this thing is not important. Anytime they sin, break it. So once they finish sinning like this, Michael, He and some angels, they like to play golf. Boom! They used the temple to play golf. They kept on breaking it. It didn't impress God. It didn't impress them. The angels said this thing. You know, God does not come into a house made with human hands, though. All these nice people are making. It's you people that like it like that, though. He's just tolerating these things. Say, what was he saying, really? We read later in the book of Hebrews that when he said I will be a father to him, he was talking about Jesus Christ. I thought I was listening to a message, and the preacher was analyzing, actually David Paulson, he was analyzing Hebrews Psalm 2, one of the psalms I actually like also. And he said he showed how the psalm came to be. It was because David was a king among kings, and he was a king over other kings. And he was, you know, in his mind, what will happen after I will have gone? So that one, all of this, it was being written as if it were for Solomon. As if this thing were going to apply to Solomon. But actually, it was not Solomon. Later on, we found Jesus interpret those things. And he made it clear. He was talking about Jesus, was not speaking about Solomon. When he said, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. It wasn't Solomon he was talking about. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He was speaking about Jesus. His resurrection was said to be a confirmation of that word. No matter how much it looked like Solomon, it was not Solomon. Are you getting my point? So we've been establishing that. Let's get it clear. So anytime you pick your Bible, what they call the Old Testament, which we call now the Law and the Prophets, that's what Jesus called it, you must understand that you must look closely. You must look closely inside it to find what pertains to the Lord Jesus. And what pertains to Jesus, that's another part of it, belongs to who? Belongs to us, the believers in Christ. That's why he said that the prophets were not serving themselves. They didn't even say they were serving Jesus. They were serving who? You. That's what Peter said. So anytime we find deliverance in the law and the prophets, it belongs to us. We claim it. We accept it. Let me say something about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The major suffering of our lives. Normally, if you read the Bible, it will tell you that once I was angry with you, and then I took my eyes away. Now I will not take my eye away from you anymore. You know the time he was angry? When was it? When Jesus was on the cross. It was for your sin, yes. Then Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. Let me tell you something there. Life is not fair. Many people are looking at that. God will punish them. God is looking at you, see. Me, I'm not going to punish them. Why? I will only punish them if they don't accept that I have punished Jesus already for them. Yes. I don't know whether you get my point.
Yes,
so many people, their sins will not find them out. So don't worry. Don't be waiting. Their sin will not find them out. Do you know why? Because if before their sin finds them out, the Holy Spirit helps them to see that their sins have already found them out in Christ Jesus. And they say, Lord, I give you my life. You'll be waiting for them to die for their sin. You're not going to die. So life is not fair. God said, should we make it fair? If you mistakenly say yes, then you will die. Because the soul that sinned it shall what?
Die.
The soul that sinned it shall die. And no, if God were to number iniquity, who will stand? Don't focus on other people. Focus on yourself. You have been forgiven.
Amen.
Somebody told that your sin will find you out. I came to tell you today, it won't find you out. Your sin has been forgotten. Then you ask God, say, look at what this girl did. God said, who? This girl. Okay, yes, I saw what she did. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the evil. You? When did you do evil? Say, Lord, have you forgotten? Say, I can't remember. You know, God forgets. He does. His own forgetting is not lapse of memory. It's an erasing of memory. There's a difference between lapse and a wiping. He formats his own hard disk. Said, do you want to send to recycle bin? He said, no, I'm not recycling it. How many of us know how to use a computer? When you want to send something to a recycle bin, when you want to delete something, computer will ask you, well, before Windows 10, the older computers will ask you, do you want to send to recycle bin? If you say yes, it goes to recycle bin, waiting for you to recollect it. You can tell it no, jump the recycle bin. You know that one is possible. Those of you don't know, you know how to do that. When you want to press delete, press shift first. You are not God, amen? Not the press shift, though. I'm just advising you. You are not the judge of the whole world. You may need to recycle some things. Anyway, the Lord doesn't use it. That's what I'm making. He wipes. When he wipes, he deletes and cleans. you have to deliberately start committing again. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Your sin is not one of those things that will find you out unless you have not believed. In Christ Jesus, when you believe, what they just say is that, okay, we are going to punish this boy for all his sins. God says, yes, we are going to punish him seriously. So Roman soldiers flog him on the cross, nail him to the cross, beat him, make sure he dies. That's what happens to every sinner. They die with Christ. They are buried with him. And then on the third day, they rise up again with him. And they say, hey, we have finished dealing with him. Where is he now? He's now in Christ Jesus. He's free. Did you punish for his sin? Most certainly. Yes. That's why he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away that sin. It's not just the bad nature, but all the punishment that the whole world was supposed to collect. Anybody that's still collecting his own has refused to believe. I hope you're getting my point. Don't let Satan sell anything to you where you want to pray. And then sell anything to you that you see. The reason why you are suffering is because of your iniquity. Tell you it's a lie. Because if that was the case, then what did Jesus die for? Are you getting my point?
Yes.
So that it cannot be. I have been forgiven. I said there are three reasons why Christians have problems. One, trials of their faith. Ignorance is number one. Trial of our faith. Number three is when they now get up and now start doing what is wrong. But as per past wrongs, no. It's called forgiveness. I hope you're getting my point. Forgiveness is not I have forgotten, no. Forgiveness is that we have paid. So it's a legal transaction. You can't pay for your sins because that would be called double jeopardy in law. How many of you know enough law to know double jeopardy? Yes. You know, you can't punish somebody. You can't even try somebody for the same offense twice. How much more punish him for the same offense two times? Do you get my point? You can't. You can't. Is that way? You can't punish him and punish him again. Say, okay, send this man to jail. He goes to jail. 2 years later, he comes out. Say, what was that for? It was for stealing money. It's all right. Send him back there again. Why? I'm not happy yet. There's nothing like that. Once that is done with that, he's done with that. He's gone. You can't punish him a second time. And the way it is, the punishment of Jesus is seen as the believer, not believer now, every human being in this world being punished. The only people that still take their own punishment are those who refuse to appropriate that thing by faith. So the believer in Christ has already been punished for his sins, for her sins, on the cross. That's why God cannot do it again. It's not just like he's nice. It's just that he can't. I don't know whether you're getting the point. It's not like, he's my son, I like him, let me not punish him. No, he has to punish sin. God does not overlook sin. I hope you know that. He doesn't. He can't. That would be unjust. It's like going to court and stand before a judge. He finds you guilty. Ah! He said, okay, Muti, is that not you? Your father was my classmate in secondary school. Don't go home. Guilty. Father, classmate, go home. Are you getting my point? That's unjust. In the same manner, God does not ever... The sin of Adam, the punishment was there for it. Even when you say you are sorry, punishment is there for it. So forgiveness with God is not okay. This guy is good, though. I like him. Don't just forget it. No. Every time there is transgression, every time there is iniquity, he stores up the judgment. He stores up the judgment. The judgment has to be satisfied. It has to be dispensed of. It has to be done. Let me do it like, judgment must be done. So forgiveness with God, that's how it is. So it's not that I've forgotten. No. It's that the judgment has been paid. Full penalty paid. And that's what Jesus came to do. And Jesus paid for the sins committed before he came and committed by the people who will come after him. All of them. You see, in spiritual things, time works differently. That's why I don't believe when people tell me God cannot change the past. I've heard some of the preachers I listen to them, they say that, you know, when something is past, God can't do anything about it. They don't know the God I'm dealing with. If I show, it's good. It's good you don't know that yet, so you can have something to discover later. If you know everything now, what will you discover later? God changes the past. That one I am sure of. I don't doubt it. You can't say, how can he do it? Me too, I don't know. But that he can do it, that one I'm sure of. I don't want to discuss it now. There are many ways. But can he change the past? Trust me, he can. And there are so many paths he has changed in your life, you don't even remember. Because it's so changed, you have forgotten. There are things that as far as you are concerned, never happened. You don't know they have happened. But one day he just wiped it away. You know that human beings, the Bible says that God can do anything far beyond whatever we can imagine, right? Far beyond. I like one thing one man of God said years ago when I was a house officer. It's anything that a man has ever imagined, it means it's too small for God to do. Do you get my point? Now, do you know human beings have imagined wiping people's memories so that we'll forget the past? That means it's too small for God to do. God can wipe everybody's memory, and that means never, you know, he corrects everything, wipes everybody's memory, wipes his own personal memory, everybody. And if something's not in God's memory, it never happened. Because he's God. Tell you the truth. Look, you know, this is deep. You know, in spiritual things, time is interesting, the way it works. Even Albert Einstein got to that level. Albert Einstein understood that time is a physical quantity, like weight. This is what I understand about it. This is God. On this, my table, is the universe. And time is running like this on the table. So I'm looking at the time. I'm looking at it. I can put my slider back. So today, yesterday, and tomorrow, they're all in front of me at the same time. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's what I understand about God. That's why when he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, there are different ways to understand. You can see that he does not change. No, but it also means that yesterday, today, and forever, they're all the same in front of him. You're looking at them like that. Look at yesterday, look at today, look at forever. Yes. That's what God is like. So when Jesus is dying, he has collected all the sins from yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and put everything inside him. So that's why he is called the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. I don't know where I get my point.
Yes.
Yeah, nobody had sinned. Why was he slain that time? You know the reality? That death on the cross is effective from behind to tomorrow. Believe me, it's deeper than most of us understand. When God forgives, it's not a personal favor. It is that has been paid. Are you getting my point? As me, I'm owing somebody money. I'm owing Chuks money. And then Okemute goes there and pays. And I come and say, Chuks, that's your money. And I say, don't worry about it. You know, I will go if I don't know anything. I say, I like Chuks. He's a very nice guy. 20 million naira. I say, I should don't worry about it. I wish we had more Nigerians like this. When in reality, Jesus has gone to meet him and giving him his money.
Yeah.
Are you getting my point? Yes. Okemute Christ has gone there, giving him his money. So when I come, I say, don't worry about it. The guy likes his money, just that Okemute has paid. That's how God is. He's just. That's why he can't tell you, don't worry about it. It's called judgment, justice. It's called justice. He can't say, don't worry about it. He cannot. If he does, you don't understand. Sin is radiant energy. It's poison. It's a substance. You listen to the air. Who's going to pay? Who's going to clean it? So when he says, don't worry about it, it doesn't mean let's just manage the dirty environment. It means somebody has come to clean it. And that's why the blood of Jesus is like this. It's a one and for all sacrifice. That's why it's like that. Because it covers time. You know, you may think Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Actually, Jesus didn't die 2,000 years ago. Jesus died ago. I don't know the time. Because right now, he's still dying. Are you getting my point? By the time of David, he was dying. In the time of Adam, he was already dying. In the time of my grandchildren, he's still, in quotes, dying. He dies on the cross for you the day you discover it. I don't know what I get my point. That's how it is. That's why it's a once and for all sacrifice. That once is a constant once. It's always there. It's when you turn to look, you see it working in your behalf. That's why many people who didn't know, they were in bondage. Africans were in bondage for a very long time, and they are still in bondage till now. You know, they are still in bondage because of lack of revelation. It's not because Jesus hasn't died. Are you getting my point? Because that the death is only relevant when you discover how relevant it is to you. So for many people, Jesus has not died yet. You understand what I'm trying to say? They have not heard the gospel. They have not believed. So Satan has lordship. Sin has dominion over them. As if Jesus hasn't died. Why? The gospel hasn't been preached to them, and they have not received that gospel and believed in the death of Jesus. So it will appear as if Satan is cheating them for 2,000 years. No. Satan is not cheating them for 2,000 years. Hasn't cheated them at all. You are the one cheating them, me and you, who have not yet gone to preach the gospel. The moment they discover it, in their life, Jesus is suddenly on the cross, suddenly being buried. They have been buried with him. The 3 days happen in 3 spiritual seconds. I don't know how long that will be physically. Then suddenly, in the process of believing, they've entered the grave, 3 days is over, they are up with him, and their sins are forgiven. That's how it works. Again, the principle. And the glories of Christ now become their own. I hope I'm saying, making, doesn't have to make sense. Just believe it. Just say amen if you believe it.
Amen.
So I feel like saying to somebody, you have been thoroughly forgiven.
Amen.
You have been seriously forgiven.
Amen.
You have been severely forgiven.
Amen.
You have been forgivingly forgiven.
Amen.
Yes, God has, you know, for God so loved the world. This was how God showed his love for you. That's it. After Jesus died, he's not doing you any favor anymore. That's why they say, you know, when they talk about grace being unmerited favor. Apostle, what do you think of that title, unmerited favor? You get as it be, it is cheating grace. You are denying grace its true meaning. It's not unmerited favor like that. It's not of your work, so are you getting my point? But stop calling it unfavor as if like, hey, God just doing me a favor. He doesn't have to do it. Bros, he has to do it. He has collected the money. I don't know whether you are getting my point. He has collected the money. Jesus has paid. So it's not as if, you know, it's just grace. So it's unmerited favor. That unmerited thing is that Jesus is the one that paid. But it's not as if the favor has not been paid for. Say, God, you see, you don't have to do what you are doing. You have to do what you are doing. Not you don't have to. When Jesus was paid, you were collecting. No, say you go settle. You're getting the logic there. That's how it works. He determined like that. Don't say, Pastor Bank, why are you so arrogant? It's not my fault. I read it in his book, not my book. I was not the one that wrote the book. You know, you get my point? It was written before I was born. I just bought my copy as I was growing up. Are you getting my point? He wrote it like that, so there's no arrogance in it. In fact, he likes the way I'm talking. He likes it like that. So this guy understands what's going on. He knows what's going down. What is grace? Paul defined it as the power of God made available to those who believe. I hope you're getting my point. That's how Paul defined grace. That's how he defined grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. What is my grace? My power that is made perfect in your weakness. That's how he defined grace. He said it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. If you read that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed for us, all right, that God will help us to understand the power that works towards those who believe. Are you getting my point here? Look, the problem with grace, what people don't understand is they think it's there. You know, you don't deserve it by your works. That's what I'm just trying to emphasize. Payment was made for it. And that payment was made by who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes it free for you. It's not cheap. It's not free in itself. It's paid for. It's who paid that's the issue. So if you say you are succeeding by grace, it means that you are succeeding because Jesus died on the cross. That's the meaning. It doesn't mean that I'm just succeeding. I don't know what's going on. Hey, now, wow. Hey, it's grace. No. Grace, sometimes what we mean in our minds is luck. It's chance. Chance working favorably towards me. That's what we call grace when we talk like that. But that's not what grace means. If you say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What that means is that God made power available to me because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And that's why he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what grace means. Grace means that what I am doing is because Jesus paid for it. Not because I worked hard. Assuming I have a PhD. I got it from Harvard. I know Dangote, I know Otedola, I know Obasanjo, I know the current head of state, I know everybody. And I'm doing business, big international business, worth billions of dollars. And I say, how are you doing it? And I say, it's by the grace of God. What that means is that, forget my Harvard PhD, forget my connection with all these men I've mentioned, forget it. What I'm experiencing is a power of God made manifest in my life. That's the meaning of the word grace. That's what it means. So somebody tell you, if you tell you, say, look, how are you doing? Say, this is by the grace of God. It means anything you see physically, forget it. The words were framed by the word of God, so that what you see is not out of the things that do appear, not out of things that are visible. So if I tell you it's by the grace of God, it means that God released a power. What you are seeing, God may have used some of them. But I know, you're telling a story just now. Somebody saw Stella Obasanjo and said, okay, see me in the office next week. She died that week. I hope you know that happens all the time. Oh, it happens all the time. It's not a unique story. It happens all the time. There are people that say, you are still rejoicing. This is our man in power. You don't know that case is in court. One of my friends, they do big business. Finally, they got a deal with Nigerian police. Serious. Budget, everything was in order. Next week, we are going to Abuja. Oga Kpata-Kpata supposed to sign paper. And work starts. And they tune TV on Sunday. Both them and the title IG were watching the same program that he has been removed. Do you get what I'm saying? They worked on the deal, everything. Say, this one, now our guy. We know this man. The man had agreed for the massive project. And they just go house. So. Just watch television. IG was former IG by Monday. And in case you don't know, all your former, all your deals are former. All the people you know, they are former people. The new IG will look at the paper and say, what is this project all about? You put it in the dustbin. That's how life is. So what we say, we are succeeding by the grace of God. What we are saying is not the physical connections. Is that Jesus has made something available. Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
And let me say something about that grace again. It means that my sins can't stop it. My sins of the past. It can't. Let me tell you the problem with sin. It's insincerity. Some people want to give God time. Like, I will sin for 10 days. You forgive on day 11. That one, you know what it's called? In fact, if you have to confess that sin, you have to first confess the sin of mocking God. Assume you were stealing. So I will steal for 10 days. You forgive me on day 11. God is not going to forgive you of stealing. In fact, stealing is no longer your sin. Your sin is now worse than stealing. Your sin is now that of mocking God. That one is a horrible sin. So if you can confess that one, don't worry, your sins of stealing was not even recorded. It's too small. You are committing a killing of this. Are you getting my point? Your sin is horrible. A lot of people like that. That's why they can't collect forgiveness. You know why? They are not serious. Because this guy is not repenting. He hasn't repented. He's a clown. He's a joker. He's testing me. I'll kill him for breakfast. I'll give 2 apprentice angels. They do all beat this guy for the fun of it. I will punish him very well. It's a sin of mockery. That's why believers, let me tell you the truth. You don't mock God. Don't joke with him. So that when I finish after 1 week, he will forgive on the 7th day, on the 8th day. We shall sin for 6 days. Yeah, for 7 we shall be in iniquity. On the 8th day, thou shalt forgive. Say, no problem. I'm waiting. Otherwise, listen. God forgives. When people come to realization of truth, and the Holy Spirit calls them, and they repent, he forgives so seriously, people will be angry. Yes. You know, there's a way God will forgive somebody. Your neighbors will be angry. Say, Lord, what kind of thing is this? You think righteousness was easy those days? All the righteousness we did, me and this will not be on the same level. If you're having that kind of thought, I want to just tell you, warn you now. That's how you won't prosper in life. Don't laugh. I'm telling you very seriously. It's called pride. It's called flesh. Which other word can I use for it now? It's called wickedness. If you think you deserve more than other people because you're a very righteous person, it's called denying the blood of Jesus. Just be careful. Don't try it. If God is forgiving somebody, just say, thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Say, Father, we thank you. We worship you. Just raise your hand and just thank him. It's like that in the Bible. Some people came. First, work starts by 9. 9, they were employed. Another set, 12, they were employed. Another set, 3, they were employed. Work closes by 6. Another set, they were employed by 5. 5 o'clock. 5. Why? The master said, why are you not working? There's no work. He said, okay, come to my farm and come and work. Just come over, come and work. At the end of the day, he paid, now, you know, God, when God wants to do you something strong, he paid those guys who came last first. Thereby raising the expectation of those who came. Oh, God, you too much. That is. He paid those who came last first. Assuming daily wage was, let's say, let's just say 5,000 naira. Man, he counted 5K, gave those guys. Those guys say, yeah. 1 hour, 5K. 9 to 12 is 3 hours. 12 to 6, that's 9. 9 hours times 5 or more, we don't hammer. And they reach every milestone. 5,000. 5,000. The guys who came at 9 o'clock said, excuse me, sir. Good morning, sir. May you live long. Look, we have an issue. What's the issue? We counted our money as 5,000. So is it not complete? Yeah, it's been complete before, but you see. When we check those who came at 5, they work for 1 hour. You give them 5,000. We just felt it fair that we and them should not earn the same amount of money. And you know what the Lord said now? He said, is your money complete? What is a complete wage for the day? They said 5,000. Did I agree on 5,000 with you? He said, yes. So go now. He said, but you paid that guy 5,000. He worked only 1 hour. He said, it's my money. I'm the one that died on the cross, not you. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Did I share some of my dying on the cross with you? When that day, the Roman soldiers should keep 2 strokes for you that you are coming later. No. I collected everything myself. I'm not sharing out the salvation. So is your salvation complete? Yes. Leave it like that. I have a word for those who are the 1 hour people. Enjoy your 5K. Amen. If you're a 1 hour person in the house, say amen.
Amen.
If you're 9 a.m., that's your problem. One hour people are those who don't deserve 5,000 naira. They didn't hear the gospel early enough to have lived in righteousness all this while. They believed late. But God said, this is how it is. As far as I'm concerned, the same dose of blood for everybody. I hope you're getting my point here. That is what grace means. That's what grace means. It means I got my job late. Paul said I was untimely born. That's what he meant. That's what Paul said. Do you know that by the time they were stoning Stephen, Paul was a big boy. Are you getting my point? Saul, you know? And Stephen was stoned shortly after the church started. Which means that Paul was a full-grown adult when Jesus was going around healing the sick, raising the dead, doing everything. And they never met. By the time they killed Jesus, Paul was not there. He traveled. He was doing his master's in Egypt. He wasn't there. So when he came back, he said, what kind of human beings are these causing trouble? He went persecuting. Yet, by the time he was done, look, if you believe that Peter was a pope, sorry. By the time Paul was done, Peter was reading Paul's letters. I said, oh boy, something say I had. You said Jesus appeared to you and told you this. He didn't tell us this while he was here. He said, he told me he wanted to tell you, but you were not listening. Said there were things that he wanted to tell you, but you couldn't bear them. So he told you, untimely born. Are you getting my point? Read the Bible we are reading now. Half of what we call the New Testament, those letters and the Gospels, was written by Paul. Only three things Peter wrote there. First Peter. Second Peter. Which one is the third one? No, there's a third one. How many people know? No. The book of Mark. Yes. Mark, of course, was written by Mark, but Mark was not there. It was a small boy. It was the narrative of Peter that he put down. You've learned something today. Yes. Everything you read in the book of Mark was what Peter dictated. He didn't write, so he dictated. And then as he told his stories, and Mark now put them down. But Paul was writing Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. He wrote to Timothy. He wrote Thessalonians, to the Thessalonians twice. He wrote to Timothy twice. He wrote to Philemon. He wrote to Titus. In fact, now began to argue that who wrote the book of Hebrews? So Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
that's the meaning of the word grace. That's the meaning of the word grace. Grace means that the sufferings of Christ on the cross applies to everybody, even if you got your job at 5 p.m. and 6 o'clock is when work is closing. 1 hour. Some people have been working since 9 o'clock. And what God is saying to those working since 9 o'clock is that forget that thing. You are not working by your own power. You're working by my power. If the money I'm even paying you, just go and eat. It's not reward, it's go and eat money. Just go and eat because it's not by your power. It's not by your power. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
That's what Christianity is about. Everything that we receive because Jesus paid for them. And that's what we need to preach. In fact, these days I enjoy preaching. Because I don't need to tell you, sometimes when I was a young preacher, I want to tell people methods. And preachers are still getting caught in that thing. The methods. 17 keys to prosperity. 1, save 10% of whatever you earn. 2, give 10% of whatever you earn. 3, look for investments that work. Amen?
Amen.
3, compound your earning. Don't just eat everything. Is that 4 or 5? 4. 5, the longer it takes to mature, the more secure. So diversify your investments. According to Warren Buffett, who is not God, all right? But according to Warren Buffett. Why? Because we think we must tell people something to do to prosper. This is how to prosper as believers. Who wants to prosper? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, now listen, I'm about to give you the key of prosperity. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You are ready?
Yes.
Okay, I have 3 keys for prosperity. You use the 3 together. First key. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
How do I use that? You can't use it, it will use you. You can't use it, it will use you. Say, use me. Yes. That word will use you. People say use the word. No, the word uses people. The word is alive and active. You are dead and crazy. The word is alive and active. In him was life. Life is not in you. The life is in the word. That's key number 1. Key number 2. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. That you through his poverty might be made rich. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
How do you use that? You can't use it. It will use you. That grace will use you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The grace will send you to work, to give you skill to work. They open doors for you.
Amen.
At the end of the day, you will say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I told you I have three keys, Abby.
Yes.
What is the third key? You've been using that one since. The third key is called Amen. What is the third key?
Amen.
Amen. These two things that scriptures have quoted, the third key is what? You saying Amen. If you believe, it's Amen.
Amen.
That's key number three. How do you use it? You finish using it. It has activated the other two. And the other two are now working on you.
Amen.
Listen to me, you won't die poor.
Amen.
No, not even dying poor. Ah, dying poor is a long time away. I mean, I'm talking about prosperity has come into your house today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I stumbled on one quote from Dista. What's his name again? Sam Adeyemi. The poor man, Sam Adeyemi said, it's not the man without money, but the man that's not adding value to anybody. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That, for that reason, this is what the word will do in you. It will make you somebody who adds value to people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the problem with Christians is that, you know, we don't define our words properly. We're looking for how do I collect money and I call it rich. Because I don't call that rich, I call that poor. There was one man who had a lot of money. I called him fool. You know the man?
Yes.
He had so much money. Investment, they paid him $500 million. Everything yielded. He said, how do I store this up? Jesus looked at him and said, fool. You're not a fool, amen?
Amen.
Why was that man a fool? He gathered. He wasn't thinking of how to. Because he said he's not rich towards God. How are you rich towards God? It's how you are blessing people. It's not how you're just stacking offering an altar. You know, it's how your life is just committed to blessing people. So that word I said is working on you. The word is using you. So what is he using to use to do? He's using you to add God's blessings to people's lives. So listen to this. Idleness has ended in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, productivity has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Skill has come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I need to say that skill has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to say one more time, skill has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Skill like that of Bezalel, it has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, that's important because God wants to show forth his excellence. Yeah, God wants to show forth his excellence. Like when David Paulson said that God is not only interested in that which is useful, he's interested in that which is beautiful. He says it's not only utilitarian things that God is interested in. So sometimes you see workmen, they tell you manage it like that, you go work. It's not about you go work. It must work and look nice. I like one thing Albert Einstein said. When he heard this Kaluza's theory of supersymmetry, those of you who know physics, you know what they call supersymmetry? Akinlu, you are putting up your hand. When he had the doctrine, the physics principle of supersymmetry, he said it must be true. He said, why? He said because, he had not read the details though, he just looked at it. Albert Einstein looked at the thing and said supersymmetry must be true. He said, why? He said, because truth is beautiful. He said, this thing is too beautiful to be false. I don't know whether you get that point. Einstein's reason for believing supersymmetry was the beauty. Of course, he had a physicist's mind to know what is beautiful in calculation. He looked at the calculations, he said, this thing is beautiful. It must be true. So skill, bringing forth perfection, the Bible calls it excellence. It's one of the things that a Christian workman should be known for. He's just not satisfied. They say, we can manage it. No, you don't manage it. Is it Michelangelo? I don't know whether the one that said it. When he was in Preston Chapel, then they call it, was painting something. They said they will cover it with the roof, a Sistine Chapel. They said they cover it with the roof. Now, why are you bothering? Say nobody will see. Say, but God will see it. The angels will see it. Are you getting my point? You are carving something that they are going to lay roof over. Say, do it rough, just cover up. The man said, I can't do that. He said, nobody will see. He said, nobody will see it. He said, God will see it. That's the spirit of excellence. That's what grace brings to you. Now, listen. Remember, that word is working. And that word is using you. It's the word that is working. It's producing the excellence on the earth. And it will produce that excellence through you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will become tired of mediocrity. You will refuse to accept things that are not excellent coming from your hands. I hope you're getting my point. That's one of the signs that the grace of God is working in you. And the grace of God will bring excellence into your life.
Amen.
It will bring excellence into your life.
Amen.
That's how it works. It's not. I'm not giving you 17 keys. All those 17 keys. Forget that thing. I like to quote this man all the time. R.G. Letourneau. Letourneau said, if I knew all the principles of accounting, I would not have succeeded in business. He said, because everything I did was wrong accounting-wise. But he didn't know. So was busy succeeding. Later on, he found out, they said, don't do like that. I said, are you serious? Yes. I've done it already. God just helped him turn his mistakes, you know, into glory. That's what God, sometimes when God is forgiving, and that's how it is. Some people want to be sinners. When God finished blessing somebody who sinned. Don't, please, let me just explain. Don't go and do it. That would be presumptuous sin. No, but that's how God. Sometimes God will bless somebody. Because of that is, you'll be looking at, how did God manage this one? You know, like David. You kill Uriah, you collect Bathsheba. And God forgives you. At the end of the day, God even give you a new wife to give birth to Solomon. He's that same Bathsheba. Some people, they've killed other Uriahs now just to collect Bathsheba, hoping God will help them. And God has now killed them. That's how grace is. God so forgave David that at the end of the day, it was that Bathsheba that gave birth to Solomon. It's not fair. Is it fair? No, it's called grace. Now, so grace they be. When God has forgiven him, and I said, okay, who stole Uriah's wife? God said, nobody. Are you sure? Okay, I forgot. It's Jesus that stole Uriah's wife. And they have killed him for it on the cross. No, that's how it is. Who stole Uriah's wife? Jesus. Who killed Uriah? Uriah? Jesus. So what do you do? Hang him on the cross. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, David, you marry Bathsheba and give birth to Solomon. How did it work? I really don't know. Don't ask me. I read it just like you and I read it. Just like you read it, I also read it. But at least by that, I understand the power of what? Grace. I'm talking about the sufferings of Christ. That's how it's applied to our lives. Today, I just feel like talking about that forgiveness thing. I feel like talking about forgiveness. Because many people are held back. Because it's not God that didn't forgive them. They are the ones that didn't forgive themselves. But I've come to teach you this evening again, to remind you, not teach really, just to remind you that in Christ Jesus, you have been forgiven.
Amen.
I hope you're getting my point. The sufferings of Christ that he suffered on the cross, it was for your sake. No, I will draw the word, it was. It is for your sake. Because that suffering is always going on. It's always going on. But again, remember, the glory he collected and dashed to you. The Bible says that he will see the result of his travail and he will be glad. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. For you to enjoy freedom is what makes Jesus glad. I don't know what I get my point. Yeah, for the believer to enjoy freedom from sin, from the consequences thereof, to enjoy freedom in life is what makes Jesus glad. That's what makes him glad. You know, Jesus gets happy. You know that. You know he's happy. You know, you can make him happy. You can make him sad. Don't you know that? You think he's God, no matter what happens, it doesn't concern him. It concerns him. One day, look, he said, I feel bad that I put that down on this earth. Yeah, God gets happy. He gets excited. Not Solomon. Abraham did something. He said, I swear, I will bless you. You know? Excitement. He gets excited. You do things that make him happy. Ken Hagin told the story of when he told the Lord that Jesus told him that the demon will go. He said, but he did not go. Jesus said, what did he say? I told you the demon will go. He said, but you were there, I did not go. I said it will go. Yeah. See me, wahala. All of you were there. Did he go? Jesus got angry. He said, next time the Lord just, he said he saw fire leap out of his eyes. If you think Jesus always smiles, no, I've warned you before. He doesn't only smile. This time around, he got angry. He said, saw fire leap out of his eyes. And all he said is, I said it will go. No explanation. And the vision ended. When you talk about trouble, that is trouble. How do I continue preaching?
He didn't explain. You know, the painful part was that the Lord did not explain.
He just said to him, I said it will go. Can again say it did not go? The Lord said, I said it will go. He said, ah, wait. All of us were here. The whole church was their witnesses. It did not go. And the Lord got provoked to anger. I said it will go. That's why be careful when you go and be narrating your experiences to prove that the word of God is not true. I don't care how poor you are blessed. You have not eaten for 2 days, not because you are fasting, but because you are broke. But you are blessed.
Amen.
You get him angry when you tell him that you say I'm blessed, but I'm not eating. He starts getting angry. Let nobody tell that God doesn't get angry. He gets angry. So we say, but I'm not eating. I say, but I'm not eating. Just say, Lord, you said I'm blessed. I just want to say, amen. Amen. Amen on the hungry stomach. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to just thank you. Children, let us worship the Lord this afternoon because we are blessed in this household. Daddy, I'm hungry. Shut up. Just worship. Just worship. No, that's Christianity for you. It's called foolishness. That's what Christianity is. Sometimes it's pure foolishness. You go to hospital, the man is very sick. Say, how are you? Say, it is well in Jesus' name. Say, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. But you're in hospital. I don't know why, but I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Don't say anything otherwise. When they went to the promised land, you think there were giants there? Let me ask you, were there giants there? No, be honest, be honest, be honest. No. Don't side sinners. Don't tell the truth. Were there giants in the land?
Yes.
You are saying there are giants in the land. God keeps some people for you too. Were there giants in the land? Yes, there were giants. That's true. I agree with you. Even me, I agree with you. There are giants in the land. Comparatively, were those people small like grasshoppers? Actually, yes. They were like grasshoppers. Now, what's the conclusion? Could they take the land?
Yes.
God didn't say there are no giants in the land. He just said, I have given you the land. The people now saw giants and decided, we can't take the land. I found out that you can provoke God to anger. You can provoke him to anger. That day the Lord was angry. He said, we can't take it. The people said, God is with us now. He said, God with you, God. Didn't you see the giant? What am I trying to say? When the Lord says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, he knew that you don't have a job when he said it. He knew there was trouble in Nigeria when he said it. When he said, in all that you will do, you will prosper. He knew that dollar may be expensive when he said it. So he said to Jeremiah, do not say, that is, don't repeat the hindrances. I don't want to hear them. Just stick with what I have said. What he gave to Jeremiah were words to speak. That's how grace works. Grace puts words in your mouth. When you get there, say, are there giants in this land? Yes. Giants, I just came to tell you that no matter how big you are, the Lord has given us the land. Say it and run. One giant will say, who said that? Don't say anything. Just keep quiet where you are. Remember, you are small, like grasshopper, so just stay there. When the giant turns again, giant! We are going to take the land. There's nothing you can do about it. Dodge. Do you know what? You continue saying it like that. You know what happened? You know what Ezekiel said? The spirit will come, possess you, set you on your feet. One giant will now come. Who talk? You know, say, it's me. What do you want to do about it? What do you want to do about it? I'm the one that said it. So I'm going to kill you now. Say, try. Your friend will say, hey, what did you eat, David? Say, leave him. Let him try. They won't know that beside you, there are two angels that are more wicked than the giants. As one giant is coming here, like they just do the giant like this. I will slap you. As you do like this, wow, the giant will have a stroke and die. And your friends will carry you on the shoulder. Hey, I've killed the giant. Then after that, you now have boldness. And then that giant, mention my name. Tell the giant I'm the one. Giant said, I didn't know you would need the land. You should have said this or God has sent you. Now, thank you. That's how grace works. That's how grace works. Grace works in the lives of those who just agree. What did I say? Works in the lives of those who just what?
Agree.
They agree with God. They put those words on their lips. It forms their decisions. They speak according to those words. And the power of God starts working in their lives. I'm saying to you again today, you are blessed.
Amen.
You have been forgiven.
Amen.
Now let me say some more words. You are not in bondage.
Amen.
You are not in bondage to sin.
Amen.
You are not in bondage to poverty.
Amen.
You are not in bondage to failure.
Amen.
I should say that again. You are not in bondage to failure.
Amen.
Ah, how do we say this? You are not in bondage to ancestral curses.
Amen.
You are not in bondage to near success syndrome.
Amen.
You are not in bondage to failure.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I feel like rebuking death in somebody's life. You will not die prematurely.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil that is fashioned against you will prosper.
Amen.
I'm speaking to somebody here. You will not die. Stop being afraid. In the name of Jesus, I cast that spirit of fear and I command it to depart from your heart in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Freedom is your portion in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, you are free. You are free. No need being afraid. Come on, don't cripple your life. Jesus came to deliver people from the fear of death. Many people, the problem they have, if I was listening to watching the crash of 1929 Great Depression in America, when they now elected this man, FDR, Roosevelt, in his own presidential speech, he said, what we need to fear is fear itself. He was trying to restore confidence, the confidence of the people in the country. He said, the only thing we need to fear is fear itself. That is, fear is the problem we have now. Are you getting my point here? Yes. For many people, it's fear of death, fear of poverty, fear of trouble. That's why I was just reading in the news this afternoon. A Nigerian man. I'm not laughing in the spirit. I'm laughing because of stupidity of some people. A Nigerian man that paid his way, wanted to be smuggled into through Libya to Europe. When he got to Libya, money finished, they sold him as a slave, $500. Yes. Go and check BBC World. He's there. They're selling people there now. The guy's from Edo State. What, you know why I'm laughing? He said he ran away because of corruption in Edo State. Corruption in Edo State. Are you a politician? People who are friends like in Edo State, they didn't know the corruption. They are there cutting plantain, you know, breaking from the bush to the main road to sell. Stupid boys. Now, he says he's 21 or 23. He's been sold as a slave. His family is now gathering money to deliver him. I was laughing at his stupidity. Yeah, he ran away because the BBC wrote that he ran away because there's corruption in the state government. As if that concerns him. Rubbish. They're not selling the guy as a slave. So BBC actually, no, CNN ran that when they investigated, actually with secret cameras, went to film the sale. No, literally, they'll put men who needs a digger. This guy can dig. He's a good digger. $500. Somebody offered me $700. $800. They say he's paying for his debts. Not a joke. Why? Because somebody deceived him. That he can't prosper in Edo State. When people believe lies, they start living foolishly. I'm talking to people who believe. If you believe, say amen.
Amen.
See, not only will you prosper in this land, you will send money to deliver slaves.
Amen.
That's your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Fear is why people start making such foolish decisions. In 2017, they are selling you as a slave. They didn't chain them with chains and this thing. No. According to the reporter, the people, their spirits are so given up, there's no need for a chain. Don't beat them into submission. Suffering. You cross the desert. Have you ever been hungry in Enugu? Sorry, test in Enugu. You think that is test? Go and cross desert. Test will teach you the fear of God. That's when you will give your life to Christ, because you must not go to hellfire. You will know why that rich man was begging Lazarus, drop. These guys, their spirits have been destroyed. Spirits have been removed. They are selling them as they can't even talk. One of them, a young man from Nigeria. Why? Because somebody lied to him. Fear is what keeps people in bondage. I speak to you today, you are free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The sufferings of Christ and the glories that follow, those things were prophesied for your good. And I say to you that glory will come to your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No matter what you have been through, it has come to an end today.
Amen.
Sickness has come to an end.
Amen.
All kinds of troubles have come to an end.
Amen.
Poverty has come to an end.
Amen.
Barrenness of every sort has come to an end.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lack of fruitfulness has died.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now hear ye the word of the Lord. Be fruitful.
Amen.
Multiply.
Amen.
Fill the earth.
Amen.
Subdue everything around you.
Amen.
Have dominion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, have dominion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, that's how Christians succeed. Everything is packaged in God's word. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet and give the Lord thanks. I read from Isaiah chapter 55 in the beginning, even though at the end of the day, I ended up not really passing any comments on it. And then I just want to say is that one thing he commanded is that we should change the way we think. That's what hinders blessings from coming into the lives of believers. Wrong thoughts, having wrong concepts. Let me just drop that as we close. Having wrong ideas, having wrong definitions. Yes, wrong definitions. One day I was preaching somewhere. I said, how many people believe that Enugu State governor is enjoying? Of course, many hands went up. I said, now if you are here tonight and you want to become a governor so you too you can enjoy, put up your hands. I didn't know that number of Christians can be foolish. They put up their hands. I went over it again. I said, how many people believe Enugu State governor is enjoying? The hands went up. How many of you want to become governor so you too you can enjoy? Children of God, they put up their hands. So I said to them, that is why you will never be a governor in your life. Yeah, that's what I said. Now I'm a prophet of God, a real prophet of God. He said, oh, Pastor, why do you condemn them? They will never be governors. It's not me, it's their thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts. Then he will be a governor. Yes, if he forsake, that is that thought process is why Christians are not blessed. I did not curse them as individuals. I cursed the thought process. I'm going to be a governor so I can enjoy. If you're a Christian like that, in the name of Jesus, you will never be anything. Don't even need to say amen, because the thing I said amen by itself. You're a blessing, amen?
Amen.
A Christian becomes a governor so he can execute righteousness, help the nation develop. Do you understand my point?
Yeah.
Institute godliness in everything that is done. That is the purpose. He's blessed so he can be a blessing. Are you getting me? That's how it works. And he says, if you just look at the way he said it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's it. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's the problem. Bless people thinking wrongly. The blessing can't flow. Say, neither are your ways my ways. Your ways are a result of the way you think. If you think wrongly, you do wrongly, things go wrong in your life. As a matter of fact, bless people. That is the reason why their blessings don't flow. If anything in your life is not flowing, go and check how you are thinking about this thing. Some men say, I need a wife. Why? Somebody has to be cooking for me. Just get a cook. You don't need a wife. What do you need? A cook. You can even be doing automatic transfer from your salary to any of these joints. Just come there, collect your food, and go. You don't need a wife. You need a husband or somebody can protect me. Get a dog. You are going to hold your bingo. Say, bingo, enemy attack. No. We just change our thought processes. That's it. I'm not talking about wife or husband. I'm just giving us an example. Okay? Let's not think like Africans. I need to have a son. Somebody can carry my name. Let's not talk about that. The Lord is good. If blessings are not flowing into Christians' lives, that's one major problem. Thoughts are what? Wrong. The thoughts are wrong. That's why David said, pray like this, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. He said, try me and know my anxious thoughts. Find out whether there's any hurtful thing in me. It's those anxious thoughts that are hurtful things. Many people are telling that the Lord spoke to me to go to America. It's a lie. God didn't see any such thing to him or her. What just happened was that the boy don't look for work for 18 months, 24 months. He don't check him. His friends now told him that if you get to America, you will be rich. They start anxious thoughts now start telling him, go to America. America is not bad if God sends you there. But it's not the place of prosperity. Prosperity is in the Lord God. And if God blesses you, you can manifest anywhere. I hope you're getting my point. I just feel like saying it again. Don't let the devil sell you fear. Enjoy every day. You know, I said something last time. Make up your mind. Not even asking God now. Just say, Lord, between now and December 31, I just want to be happy. I'm not saying give me anything. No. I'm saying what? Make me happy. Now load music. And just be dancing. Are you getting my point? Yeah, seriously. Not just like 6 weeks, Tabi. And then God can now do what he wants to do. Many people, their fears. Fear can cripple God's hands. Why do you think God used to announce, fear not? If it didn't matter, do you think he would say it? Listen to me. If fear did not matter, God wouldn't tell you, fear not. Fear not is not, Apostle Okemute, no need to be afraid. Why can't they fear like this? You be small picking. How do they fear? No need to be afraid. Are you a small child? What is it? Fear not is not rebuke. Fear not is what? A commandment. It's an instruction that says, if fear continues in your life, what I want to do cannot happen. That's the meaning of fear not. Fear not doesn't mean that, why are you just misbehaving like this? You want to raise your blood pressure for nothing? No. Fear not is that if this fear continues, what I want to do will not happen. Where I want you to go, you will not be able to go there. What I want you to accomplish, you will not be able to accomplish it. And that's why he says, fear not. All right, let's do something. I speak to you. Do not be afraid.
Amen.
Say amen to that again.
Amen.
That's empowerment not to fear. That's just that was what went out just now. From today, you will not be afraid.
Amen.
Say after me, I will not be afraid.
I will not.
Say, I will not fear. Say, terror will not come near me. You know what you have done? You have driven back his spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. There are people that have anxiety disorders. If you are there this evening, all right, just put your hand on your chest. I want to pray for you. It's an evil spirit. I want to drive it away. It's an evil spirit. Just panic for nothing. You're sitting there. Your chest starts beating. Terror comes upon you. Now, you spirit of fear, that spirit of anxiety, I command you, get out of that life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. That child of God, you will not fear.
Amen.
You will not be afraid.
Amen.
Terror will not come near you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now receive the spirit of joy.
Amen.
Yeah, now drink of that spirit. Say, Lord, I receive it. Say, I receive the spirit of joy. I receive the spirit of gladness. Say, I receive this oil of gladness. Instead of the spirit of mourning. Say right now, joy fills my heart. Laughter fills my mouth. Say
right now,
joy fills my heart. And laughter fills my mouth. Put up your hands and give the Lord thanks as we close. Just say, Lord, I thank you. And I want you to smile. Be happy as you are giving thanks. Be happy. Say, Lord, I thank you. I'm free. I'm free. Tomorrow is bright. I know the thoughts you have towards me. Thoughts of good and not of evil. Say, I am free. Say, Lord, I am free. Joy fills your heart now. Laughter fills your mouth. In the name of Jesus, I command you, be happy. Be joyful. Receive the spirit of joy. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Let's give him thanks again. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. If you are blessed today, please say an amen.
Amen.
And now let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless somebody beside you, please. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless another person on the other side. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. One more person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Now one for yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. All right, share our brethren.